At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Omar Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks for joining us, and welcome to our first quarter conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaytan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as reconciliation IFRS measures, we direct you to our news release, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. With that, I'll turn it over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you, and good morning. The 2010 year was truly a tumultuous year in the agricultural sector around the world. Weather events not seen in decades in most origins around the globe, dramatic food inflation driving prices for staple foods up in many markets, ultimately leading to political unrest, volatile markets with unprecedented price volatility, uncertainty surrounding supply, quality, and quantity. The year was certainly challenging for all agribusiness companies, including ours. But as spring brings renewal, we see a new year as the start of resetting the slate and continuing on our path to grow a strong and viable business. Earnings and operations through 2010 have been dramatically affected by these issues and conditions, but we have always remained committed to our strategy as the correct one for our company. Diversification of origins, depth of distribution, focusing on destination markets and how to best service them, ensuring that our facility capacity and utilizations are effectively used, maintaining the high barriers to entry in our competitive environments, and managing our risks overall. These are the key components of our strategy. The depth of experience we have at all levels of our company and the market intelligence we've been able to obtain through our operations told us that global demand cannot remain unfilled. The products we produce are staple foods, traditional vegetable protein that the population of the world needs and consumes. We are pleased to report with our results from Q1 2011 that we're seeing a slow but steady resumption of more normalized business conditions in our operations in all origins. Many of the issues we saw in 2010 are resolving themselves, with new supply and buyers coming back to the markets. We are optimistic this will continue through the second half of 2011 and assist us in executing our business strategy. With these more normalized conditions, we're also pleased to report in the first quarter of 2011, sales of $168.1 million and adjusted EBITDA reported as $14.2 million. Our first quarter 2011 financial results are available on SEDAR and from our website at www.alliancegrain.com. But conditions are not completely corrected yet. There is much work to do to fully normalize our operations and ensure the demand for staple foods and protein are filled and local market stocks and end-use markets are actually replenished. We have provided detailed information in our MD&A with respect to market outlooks in the various origins we operate, and I would like to highlight some of the major upcoming conditions for 2011 that is the basis for our optimism. I'm also going to ask Gaytan to give us a comment in a few minutes. The quality of the 2010 crop and overall conditions certainly presented challenges for us throughout the year. The high quantity of low or highly variable quality product from many origins was a challenge for processors such as AGT, as well as to our customers worldwide. With volatile pricing for pulses and staple foods through 2010, buyers purchased hand-to-mouth, filling only the barest minimums of stocks as they kept an eye on the markets for both buying opportunities and to ensure they didn't get caught with high-priced inventories. Presently, buyers have their eye on new crop in Canada, the U.S., and Australia, and Turkey, and the world is closely following the early signals from all of these origins to plan their buying activities for the year. A normalization of quality and quantity in all origins, particularly Canada, the U.S., Australia, will certainly assist us in increasing our overall global capacity utilization and velocity for our facilities. As we have stated many times, with the high fixed cost nature of our business, Capacity utilization, velocity, and processing efficiency are key components to our positive results. While the 2010 year created challenges that we overcame, we're optimistic that 2011 will create opportunities that we may capitalize on. Acreage is coming down in Canada this year after breaking records for planting in 2010. However, as we've indicated in the past, supply fluctuations are a part of agriculture. Farming is a business that each year farmers make decisions about what they will grow and what will make them money. However, they are not short-sighted in chasing the dollar. Rather, they make their decisions based on what high-value crops are in demand and balance it against their rotational needs for their sustainable farming operations. After a record seeding in 2010, a temporary break from growing pulses may be what some farmers need to correct their rotations. Some of the farmers have seeded lentils on lentils in back-to-back years to capitalize on high returns in 2008 to 2010. Many outlets are reporting a decrease in lentil acres, and the late seeding due to the wet spring may further affect acres. However, we have to note, farmers are still evaluating their cropping options for 2011, seeding is still ongoing, and recent reports are that with reasonably good weather over the past few weeks, farmers have made excellent progress on seeding activities. A positive start to our season is a key part of a positive marketing season in the fall. Based on information available, what we expect for this year is a return to the year-on-year growth levels and pulses in terms of acres, production volumes, and quality. The lentil acres projected by StatsCan are estimated at 2.7 million acres. Some industry sources estimate that it may fall lower. But this production still represents significant available product. Canadian farmers understand the importance of pulses in Canadian agriculture, and this importance is being also reiterated by farmers in other origins, with estimates in pulse production in the U.S., Australia, and China to increase. Overall, these developments, coupled with normalization of production volumes in Turkey, are sufficient to provide ample lentil and pulses production volumes globally for AGT operations, especially considering increases in seeding intentions for lentils in the U.S. and Australia and carry-in stocks in North America. These can be considered key developments based on the significant investment AGT has made operationally in these markets. With regards to operations, till the fall period, when new crop products are available, normalized production in Turkey and the high levels of carry-in stocks in Canada, the U.S., and Australia provide supply that can be processed and potentially upgraded through our value-added processing facilities to fill continued short-term buying that is estimated to continue through the spring and summer. Outside of our strong growth potential for our pulse business, we cannot forget about the diversification opportunities that continue to present themselves as a result of our long-term planning to strengthen our positions in the new commodities rice, in our pasta business, bulgur wheat business, and entries into new distribution opportunities in markets like India, China, Southern Africa, and South America. Our continued focus on diversified offerings like beans and chickpeas, as well as packaged retail food business and ingredient business, will further assist us in providing the potential for smoothing our earnings throughout the years. New markets and new opportunities do exist, and we're working to uncover those that best fit with our abilities and the strengths of our company, and we will continue down the path of growth and development in these new areas. I want to call on Gaetan Bourassa, COO of AGT, to give us a quick update on some of the markets. Gaetan?
Thanks, Brad. I'll start off with a quick summary of our origins and operations. Working with Canada, Canada's off-grade of peas, beans, lentils, and chickpeas, we were able to get a little more velocity in Q1 compared with the previous quarter. While the lentil markets softened in value over this period, we were still able to secure business and properly manage the purchases and quality through our facilities, resulting in a return to more normal margins. As Murad mentioned, millers at destination continue buying just enough product to cover monthly requirements. Also, green whole lentil consuming markets are slower moving on account of the overall poor visual appeal of the 2010 product. However, AGT is well equipped to gently process and upgrade many of these lots to meet customer expectations, as evidenced in quarter one. After a full year of processing Canadian beans, we are very pleased with the performance of the operations in Manitoba. We have met internal volume targets and have also made strides in developing our North American chickpea program with the help of this capacity. Until new crop this coming fall, there are good stocks of pulses available on farm to process and upgrade. Looking at new crop, we expect pulse acres to be less than last season. On account of higher cereal and canola prices, coupled with some acres being lost to extreme wet land. However, with the expected carryout of lentils, the overall supply will be more than sufficient for the next marketing year. In the U.S., our operations continue to run at near capacity. With this, we are looking closely at the geography for a second location to be finalized sometime in 2011-12. Also, we continue to look down the value chain at ingredient markets and new distribution channels in North America. In Turkey, the new crop harvest of lentils has just begun. Yesterday, our Meyerson operations took their first load in. Production figures are conflicting from 380,000 to 550,000 metric ton. As of today, we expect the crop to be less than last season, which is actually positive for our strategy of stock and sale for Canadian and Australian lentils and other products. Also, recent rains in some of the main growing regions may have affected the crop quality, giving a good opportunity for Canadian quality to compete. In the pasta segment, Arbel continues its diversification of its market strategy with growth targets set based on export market success. Additional semolina capacity will be ready for the second half of this year, while the fifth pasta line is now on stream. More land adjacent to the current pasta plant has recently been secured for future lines to be added to supply the increasing success of our export program. Rice milling activities are set to grow with the commissioning of AGT's new rice mill in northern Turkey, which will commence operations by June, July of this year. Production levels are still estimated to remain flat to last season. Over in Australia, I previously mentioned that rain did affect harvest in Victoria and South Australia, however, not to the extent that Canada received. Overall, pulse quality is more marketable. In Q1, we saw our Aussie operations ship tonnage increase by 75% over Q1 of 2010. This helped offset some of the quality and shipment problems from Canada to our main customer base. The new packaging processing locations in South Australia are already becoming a factor in the region, and we are expecting full benefits by year two of integration. Portman's, which is our UK, Dutch, and Spanish merchandising and distribution offices, are quickly showing synergy dividends. Within a year of further integration and cross-selling from the group, we are expecting further dividends. Our entry into China is ongoing with a small pulse facility established and plans for growth and expansion in full swing. Touching quickly on market conditions, the reports of cooler weather and lower yields in India is hard to pin down. Reliable information does not exist. Many report that the lentil crop is around 500,000 metric ton, while the Kabuli chickpea crop is near last year's tonnage. Normally, India will enter for August-November imports of Canadian new crop. However, this year's sales have not been done far in advance. Today, I would attribute this to the fact it is known Canada will have a decent carryout stock of red lentils. However, off-grade green lentil sales have been somewhat steady to the Indian millers for Toradol replacement. India will now consume its local crop and should be back in the market by August. In closing, we see adequate production levels and carryouts of pulses and rice will be available for the 2011-12 season. Our long-term strategy to have multiple origins, cross-selling to markets, is already contributing to the smoothing of AGT's earnings. Thank you.
Thanks, Gaetan. I want to call on Lori Ireland, our CFO, to go over our financial results. Lori?
Okay, I'll just do a quick summary of the variances. More detail is available in the MD&A. For the quarter, AGT sales were $168.1 million, and that compared to $186.4 million for the 3 months ending March 31st, 2010. And it also compared to $169 million for the 3 months ending December. Our sales were relatively consistent with the most recent quarter, but because of substantial shifts in the location of the sales, we saw sales volume increases from quarter four to quarter one. In Arbel, the fire caused the sales to drop down a little bit and picking up again sometime in January. Canadian revenues were slightly down when comparing quarter one 2011 to quarter one 2010. as capacity utilization decreased, and that was due to the variability of the raw material that we were bringing into the facilities. When looking at the gross margin comparatives on an IFRS basis, gross margin improved from the quarter ended March 31, 2011, when comparing to the quarter ended December 31, 2010. With similar revenues, gross margin percentage improved to 13%, up from 8.4%. The margin improvement, when comparing to quarter four, was a function of management's ability to derive margin from the lower quality crops. Looking at operating expenses, the operating expenses for the quarter ending March 31, 2011 were $8.9 million, and this compared to operating expenses of $8.5 million for the 3 months ended December 31, 2010. Operating expenses were slightly higher, although quarter one 2011 does include all the acquisition costs of the acquisitions from late quarter four 2010. So given that, management's pleased with the relative consistency of the costs. Also note that there were certain costs reclassified due to IFRS, and we've done this reclassification right through each quarter in 2010. Interest expenses for March were $2.1 million compared to $2.4 million for the 3 months ended December 31st. And although we saw that debt increased for the March 31st, 2011 quarter, the interest expense was relatively consistent due to the fact that we paid down some higher interest operating credit and replaced it with bank instruments that had lower interest rates. Total debt as of March 31st was $165.9 million, and this compared to $130 million in quarter four. And the ramp up in the long-term debt is the utilization of our facilities with Farm Credit Canada, which has quite favorable interest rates. It allowed us to draw down some of the revolving capital asset lines that we have available and helping us to ramp up our assets. Right now, AGT in total has construction in progress totaling $37.2 million. Of that, approximately $2 million is in Canada, just under $1 million in the U.S., $7.3 million in Australia, and $27 million in Turkey. Depreciation expenses were $2.6 million in the quarter ended March 31, 2011, and this compared to $0.6 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2010. And to 2.5 for December 31st, 2010. Now, the reason that we see depreciation on an IFRS basis drop significantly in March 2010 was that we had to do some IFRS adjustments. So March 2010 is actually lower than what it normally would have been. Looking at inventory, inventory at March 31st, 2011 was $166 million, and that compared to $110 million in December. And the increase is attributable to the buildup of inventory in the new facilities in South Australia and the normal seasonal requirement for inventory buildup and transfer from Canada to Turkey and from Australia to Turkey. Packaged inventory for pasta and rice sales programs also added to this. Accounts receivable at March 31, 2011 was $126 million, and this compared to $135 million at December 31st. The levels are relatively consistent and track relatively consistently with how receivables progress through the spring and summer. A quick update on IFRS. The transition is complete now. The March 31st, 2011 consolidated statement of financial position includes the IFRS adjustments from the pre-2009 period right through to December 2010. As of January 1st, 2011, all of our processes have been changed to reflect the IFRS requirements. Assets have now been componentized, and construction projects will now include a labor and interest component. In addition, Alliance is now reporting by function, and what by function does is it groups expenses together according to the function they relate to. So, for example, cost of sales, cost of distribution, and general and admin. And other than that, I'll just point out that the costs for 2010 quarters have been reclassified for comparative purposes under IFRS.
Thank you, Lori. We can see from these results that our position is improving and we'll continue to work towards success in the second half of 2011 and 2012. With new crops come a new slate, wiped clean for the upcoming season. Ultimately, as we have stated, our commitment to our strategy remains intact. Our processing expertise, market distribution globally, and our origination reach, we feel, positions us well to mitigate many risks and challenges we face as a global company in the international agricultural processing industry. I want all of our shareholders to recognize that management is committed, both as significant shareholders and as a team that has built this company from a startup to delivering the results that make AGT a successful international food company, delivering consistent earnings, results, and value to our shareholders, growers, and clients. We have a clear vision, as well as the facilities, experience, capital, and distribution to execute this growth strategy, creating long-term value. And I want to really thank everyone for their interest in AGT. I will turn things back over to Omar, and we'll open it up for questions and answers for the remainder of the time. Thanks.
With that, operator, if we can take the first question.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for a response to all the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. First question is from Jacob Bout of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, Jacob.
Hi, yes. This is Jonathan Lowe on behalf of Jacob Bout at CIBC. And,
yes, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Hi. Just a quick question on pulse processing. What capacity utilization were your Western Canadian pulse processing plants running at this quarter? How successful have you been at running other grains such as kabuli chickpeas during the slower periods to increase this? And just as a follow-up to that, why haven't we seen margin expansion during harvests of lower volumes and higher quality variants given the spread in pricing for the various grades?
I think we'll attack that as, point one on your question. When you look at capacity utilization in Western Canada, you know, certainly the challenging quality of the last harvest, you know, has our utilization down in quarter one 2011 versus quarter one 2010. So when we look at it, we're probably down somewhere in the range of about 20 to 25% on our utilization from what would be considered a peak operating period. I mean, remember, our traditional business runs a Q4, Q1, you know, strong utilization and then ramping down before ramping up in Q3 to a new crop. And so when you're talking about Western Canadian processing velocity being affected by 20 to 25%, you know, we're really quite pleased with the results of 14.2 million. I think that as a lead into your second question, margins in Western Canada did expand. You know, so when we look at the grade spreads that existed, we did deliver some of that. With 20 to 25% utilization decrease in Western Canada, you know, margins did come up to offset some of that capacity utilization loss. And as we said always all along, we were confident in our ability to convert low quality to marketable product. The question just was, could we generate enough margin to offset the capacity loss? And I think it's fair to say that the capacity loss was higher than what we anticipated. And that was largely due to the fact that clients, you know, really didn't adjust their quality expectations down dramatically. We just had to work that much harder to make sure we could ensure that we meet their specifications and continue to market, you know, which is one of the things that I think many will be, you know, potentially a bit surprised with is that if you look at the lentil export numbers, they were down dramatically. But, you know, with this result that we've shown you, with the technologies and the processing expertise that we do have, we certainly had market share gains as a result of the fact that quality was this affected. For the higher value markets where we play, you know, we certainly delivered what we wanted to.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Christine Healy of Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Congratulations, guys. First question, you've undertaken several growth projects here over the last couple of years. You got several more underway. Can you just talk about your management depths and whether you feel you have the bench strength right now to pursue these other growth opportunities in India and China?
Yeah, good question, Christine. As you as you're familiar, I mean, the main initiatives on growth right now are focused on U.S., China, India, and Turkey. So those would be four of our major initiatives. Now, you know, part of the thing, I mean, the U.S. for us is very close. For those of you not as familiar with the geography, from our head office in Regina to our North Dakota facility is only 250 kilometers. So it's closer than our northern Saskatchewan locations. So North Dakota, we have a strong management team built up, you know, strong corporate controller, strong general manager that we're building a team around. We're very confident in our ability to execute that, and we'll augment as we need to, of course, with a significant head office presence very close by. In the China operation, this was a main motivation for the acquisition of Portman's. I mean, the Portman's gave us a team of 30 people. You know, our senior management team, Andrew Jacobs, has been in the Pulses business for 35 years. Cor Haag, who's our managing director in the Netherlands, has been in the Pulses business for 32 years and active in China for 26 of those years. And so Cor is heading up our China strategy. And we've recently added a senior director of international operations, a gentleman named Tim Marshall, who's been actively involved in China and India operations and the agriculture business and Southern Africa as well for the last 40 years. So we're augmenting the team to ensure that we have that. And a key part of the strategy is to put in place country management teams. And so China is done through the acquisition of Portman's. India, we're going to be building a country team. So we'll be putting a senior leadership position in place and building a organization around that. Of course, Turkey is led by Hussein Arslan and the rest of the management team there. We're very well equipped, Christine, I think, to continue. So it's a lot of different geographic strategies, but you know, you have to recognize that they're also divided by not only geography, but by product type. You know, Turkey is largely a pasta and rice strategy today, and then a growth of the distribution and small packed retail business in the region. India is going to be an integrated Pulses strategy. Australia, we're well on the way to success, looking at some more opportunities in the chickpea area in Australia. And China is dry edible beans and peas, you know, into China for pea powder, pea starch, you know, vermicelli noodle production, all different kinds of pea and Pulses ingredient use. So very diversified lines. I think we can definitely keep it rolling.
Okay, thanks. And then just switching gears, can you talk about what impact you think the removal of the Canadian Wheat Board monopoly would have on the pulse industry and on AGT?
Yeah, great question. I mean, a very timely question. Listen, I have to tell you that in the Canadian grain industry, although we're in the pulses side more than the grains, you know, we're probably one of the most international companies in the world. And so when we look at distribution and we look at the business that we've set up and our ability to react to food ingredient demand requirements in pulses and cereal grains, in particular, let's say on the durum wheat side and the milling wheat side, you know, we're very excited about the opportunity that may present itself to, you know, continue down our path of cross-selling high-quality ingredients into the milling, baking, and food industries throughout the world. So I think that our distribution is one that, you know, will definitely benefit from the type of change that may allow companies like ours to get involved in the containerized and bulk shipments of high-quality agricultural products out of Canada. Now, on the acreage side, listen, it depends on who you talk to. Some farmers believe that the Canadian Wheat Board has delivered superior returns to open market, but let's argue even if it's a neutral basis or slightly positive, pulses compete extremely well with cereals on acreage. So any, you know, analysts or economists that predict the demise of the pulse industry because the Wheat Board monopoly is coming off, I don't know what type of angle they're looking at. It's certainly not one that I think is grounded in reality. So you know what? It's a competitive rotational crop, and the cereals monopoly coming down is going to have nothing but positive effects on in my mind, on AGT to give us opportunities to do some other things if we choose to. And on the Pulsa side, it's going to be a very neutral thing on acreage.
Okay. And just one last question to sneak in here, just on your working capital. Your inventory balance really climbed this quarter. Your AP seemed to be quite a bit lower than it typically is. Should we expect the normal seasonal, like return back to normal in the next couple quarters here, have your inventory balance come back down, your AP balance?
I mean, definitely, Christine, it's a seasonal business. Remember, it was later in Q4. And so, you know, when you look at starting only on around the 10th or 15th of November, you know, the new crop, when you get into Q1, we had less product cleared through the system. Also, remember, on revenue recognition, product processed in Canada or Australia transferred to Arbel for our stock and sale and processing operation there remain in inventory until they're received, processed, and sold to an on-buyer where it's actually recognized as sales revenue. So, you know, a lot of that is not inventory that's just sitting in inventory. It's already in transit to Arbel, or it may be in transit to the ports, you know, for instance, to be loaded onto to container vessels. So we will see a normal seasonal change. And if you look at quarter one of 2010, I think our debt levels 2010 were around 150 million versus 165. So, and then we ramped all the way down to very little utilization on our operating credit. So normal seasonal cycles.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I also have one question, but with seven parts.
Go ahead, Robert.
Something you touched on, Brad, I'm trying to get clarity on, and just really reconciling the numbers in your MD&A with those lentil export numbers you referenced as well. So I look at Canada sales, and you're talking about a 200% increase to 11.6 million, up from 3.9. A year ago, yet as you point out, lentil exports were down materially out of the prairies, i.e. down about 30%. And just, if you could please, just walk us through how it is that...
You're going to have to slow down and those numbers again. which numbers are you looking at?
I'm looking at the numbers in your segmented, let's see here, note 20.
Note 20, okay. I'm just going to flip to that so that
sure.
I can... you're talking about segmented sales by geography?
Correct.
Right, but just remember, the Canadian sales segmented by geography in Canada means it's just sales into Canada, right? That's actually sales in
right.
Canada. We're up.
That's buyers. It's buyers in Canada, correct?
Canada, absolutely.
Okay, so...
Yeah, some of that would go to export, like if we sold into a Montreal position or a Vancouver position for someone. That's still considered a Canadian sale. But go ahead to your export stats question.
Yeah, so that's so good. So you're looking at about a 30% drop in lentil exports, and then even if we don't look at the Canada, we can look above this, and still in Table 20, you're talking about pulses and specialty crop sales were up about 1%, say the 138 versus 137.
Yep.
And pulse or lentil prices were flat. So presumably with that 30% drop in the exports of lentils, you're making up the difference in non-lentil product. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the whole game here that everybody has been hearing me talk about for the last 18 months is we are the most successful lentil company in the world. We're going to remain that, but we're also going to be the most successful bean company, the most successful chickpea company, the most successful export pasta company, and the most successful medium grain rice milling company in the world. And so from that perspective, you know, you are seeing the efforts of our diversification. And, you know, our goal, Robert, is to ensure that when we go forward and we have a supply disruption in a market like Canada, last year we were still so Canada-centric that we couldn't weather the storm, no pun intended on that. You know, ultimately over time, the diversification initiatives kick in. And it's not only just product. Robert, our Australian operation contributed a lot more in Q1 2011 than it did in Q1 2010.
Right.
So Australia is also part of that to seasonally smooth us. And we will, I hope, see Turkey in quarter three, you know, assisting us to seasonally smooth ourselves. And in 2012 and beyond, I hope you'll see India smoothing us and carrying us through a quarter two, whereby, as you know, quarter two is our seasonally our slowest quarter as everyone waits for new crop India to become clear and new crop Turkey to come.
Got it. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Keith Carpenter of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, good morning. A couple of questions. The first one should take maybe just a nod. Under the new accounting, should we look at the G&A marketing expenses and the amortization as a good proxy from Q1 going forward?
Yeah, the only thing to note in there that included in G&A is $827,000 of depreciation.
Yeah, okay. And can you just, Murat, can you just comment and talk to the year-over-year differences in your pasta, semolina and bulgur, and your rice sales?
Okay, Keith, just before you move on from that question, just remember one other thing. Under IFRS, there's a number of costs that were reclassified from cost of sales into G&A. This is under the, you know, reporting by function.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say, just to give you guys a little bit of clarity, you know, for instance, all of our plant managers, all of our quality assurance managers, all of our grain buyers are now listed in general administrative,
marketing,
sales, and distribution in the overall, you know, admin costs, whereas prior in 2010 and prior to that, portions of those salaries were allocated against cost of sales, of course.
No,
so when we went to the IFRS basis, we were reporting by functional area for cost. And so while I say, yes, it's the normal go forward, it's not like last quarter's, let's say it was 7.5 to 8 million. Now it's, you know, 8.5 to 9 million. But remember, that increase doesn't mean an increase. Those costs were there last year. They were just classed up in cost of sales.
That's good.
Pasta, rice, and bulgur business? Is that your question?
Yes. Year over year changes in sales.
I mean, listen, you know what? Quarter two will be the first quarter that we've added the new line. By the way, I want to say on the call, I'm not sure if we noted somewhere in our MD&A the addition of the sixth pasta line. It's actually the fifth pasta line, so I want to make it very clear on that typo on our side. Maybe I'm foreshadowing the sixth pasta line, guys, but the fifth pasta line is just commissioned in end of March, April, and that will have the effect of increasing our overall capacity by about 25 to 30%. And so, you know, the old pasta lines we used to run were 2 tons an hour or so. This new line is 6.5 metric tons per hour of small cut of short cut pasta. It's the largest short cut line we think running in the world today. And so from that perspective, you will see a growth in the pasta business in the coming periods, you know, that is largely fueled by the strategy, which is widespread geographic distribution of a brand will lead to repeat sales and sustainable markets. Now, this is something that a lot of people try and do and don't succeed in, but our pasta business continues to run about 80 to 85% branded Arbella, and our country count at last check, when I checked a couple of weeks ago, I think we were at 63 countries of distribution now. And so with that, it breeds more repeat sales. So Gaetan alluded to the fact that we've acquired 4 additional acres of property directly adjacent to our pasta plant. For those of you who have been to our site, you analysts, that gives us room to basically take ourselves from our current space, can add another 2 lines, so we can get up to 7 or 8 lines, and we'll have room for another 8 lines next to it. So, you know, we're very committed to exploiting the advantage of Turkish domestic durum wheat production at very cost-effective levels, the port location of our factory, and geographic reach from Turkey to faraway lands as Venezuela, South America, Japan. So it's not just a nearby market strategy. We're currently into 12 or 13 markets in Africa. So, you know, it's a very, very strong thing. And we're seeing stimulated demand in North Africa post-crisis for pasta as a result of governmental programs to buy in dry goods for distribution. Both pulses, rice, and pasta are going into Libya and other places. So, you know, the year-over-year growth is going to be seen in the 2011-2012 season. you know, we only added the one line, you know, last year. That ramped up, so we had some good, strong growth. But really, the big growth comes with the addition of the big lines. On the rice side, the new mill is actually in commissioning now. So by end of June, early July, we'll be into production. And, of course, we'll be in modest production for the early part of Q3 until we get the paddy rice harvest out of the way in September, October. And so we'll be ready and ramped up to move in the new year.
And just on the, from a year ago, the two businesses combined.
So, yeah, so if you're looking at, okay, now I just saw the segmented here. What's caused us to go down on the segmented is, okay, let's look at the pasta business. In the pasta business, we include durum wheat sales that are just done on a bulk basis. Last year, we had durum sales to Italy from Turkish durum that were just vessel loads that were done in the first quarter last year. And then also we had a large tender for the Venezuelan government last quarter one of 2010. So that skewed the figures up.
Okay.
On the Bulgur side, the Turkish grain board was involved. And then on the rice side, the skewing of the rice business was due to a large Turkish grain board tender in 2010. So that was a one-time government tender. So, you know, what you're seeing on the decline is our normal retail distribution business is ongoing. There's no disruption. It's growing.
Okay. Perfect. Just wanted to make sure that's what it was.
Sorry, Keith. When I looked at the numbers, I now understand what you're asking. Sorry about that.
Well, the first part of the answer helped as well, so.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congrats on a great quarter. So just wanted to ask about these margin expansion and the market share gains and the sustainability. So first, with respect to the margin expansion, just based on the current carryover stocks, what is your ability to continue to upgrade lower quality product and continue to realize these stronger margins?
Well, you know what, Mark? I mean, it's not only a function of the available product and our ability to do it. It's a function of demand as well. I mean, you know, ultimately you're going to see, you know, quarter two is a quarter that you have very little chance to affect anything. It's markets only buy what they need because they're waiting for India to be clear and Turkey to come. So we plod along and get through that quarter. But then when we look at quarter three and beyond, the processing of the off-grade old crop is not going to finish. I mean, this will carry us into a new crop. It'll give us product available for the July, August, you know, period into the new harvest in Canada. And I think that's a positive thing. I mean, last year, you know, we had a quarter two supply issues leading into a quarter three supply issue that didn't resolve itself because of a late harvest. We're not going to have that issue this year in our Canadian operation. I think that's positive. So I think that available supply to meet demand will be there. As Gaetan alluded to in his comments, I mean, we don't think India is that great, and we don't think that Turkey is going to be that great. Now, to clarify Turkey not being that great, I want everybody to remember, when Turkey's not great, we pump it full of Canadian and Australian product because we have the strong distribution there. That's good for us. And when Turkey is great, we have the largest processing capacity in the country. So either way, it's great. That's the strategy. So, you know, I think that we'll continue to do it. Market share gains, listen, we have strong distribution. We think that, you know, when we need to take markets and find them, we know every corner of the globe. We have a friend in every city that many of you haven't been to. And so, you know, from that perspective, it gives us a strong ability to reach out and deal with that. Now, Mark, as we go forward, distribution in markets is the key to driving our utilization and to continue to drive earnings. We are now too big to rely on importers around the world to tell us when they want to buy. We know they're going to buy, and if it's in market ready for them, they'll buy. And so, you know, we go around the world and we say, is there demand? And people say, oh, no, there's no demand. And Gaetan or I will say, well, if there was 500 tons of product sitting in this warehouse today at this price, would you buy it? And the answer is almost always, yes, I would buy it. Well, then there is demand. There's actually a lack of liquidity and a lack of risk tolerance to be able to handle the transit time. Well, as an originator and a processor, we can mitigate that because we have a processing margin at play. And if we have market access and product in market for distribution, you know, then we end up in a position where we can capture prompt delivery premiums instead of discounts for shipping and waiting 45 days. So I think that, you know, you'll see a sophistication in the strategy allowing us to potentially hang on to the market share gains that we've achieved.
Okay, so so is it safe to say, and if this sort of carries over to some of the conversation from the last call, which is that there has been a, you've got more appetite now to sort of, I don't know if speculate's the right word, but to take on inventory risk, whereas in, you know, previously you weren't doing that.
Mark, I definitely don't use the word speculate because we're originating it in multiple origins. We're relying on our own market intelligence. And with the lack of a futures market, in a way, we're actually hedging ourselves by having access to multiple origins and positioning product in the most advantaged region to meet consumption. So we view that as a distribution strategy, not as as speculation at all. We have a margin at play that's already, you know, been priced into our transfers into different regions. And I want to make one other thing clear. We are not circumventing our current distribution in the world. We're doing this in partnership with our distribution. So, and you know, we're not moving to a 100% inventory transfers around the world. It's still a very small managed program where, you know, we will, as an executive management team, set a position limit in any one market for unsold inventory, and we'll monitor it on a weekly shipment and sales report in country, and then we can always turn the pipeline off, right? If you program product to go into India or into Egypt or into Turkey and sales aren't going as you planned, you just turn the tap off and you resume the tap 1 or 2 weeks later. We have the capacity, the capital, the origination, and the access to freight. That gives us the ability to control our pipeline.
Okay, and so just finally then, just on this market share, was the market share pickup, is that more a function of your ability to market the product that's available now and that, you know, in a more normalized environment, your market share might go back to where it was before? Or is this now more of a permanent situation in terms of your market position?
Jeepers, Mark, you're talking so well that I'm going to have to give Gaetan a raise here because he's running the marketing program. So, no, I mean, listen, we're building a distribution system in the world, and as we add every piece to this puzzle, we get stronger with our clients. This is the whole point of the strategy. When you need Chinese beans to go along with your Canadian lentils, and by the way, next month I'm going to give you Australian lentils because they're more competitive, and next month I'm going to give you Turkish because they're more competitive, and the month after that I'm going to switch back to Canadian, clients stick with that type of loyalty and they're, because they're making money. And secondly, when you go out of our fold, Mark, you don't get easily back in. So people that are in the club, in the distribution system, they stay in, and we all make money together. This whole strategy was, I characterize it from the day I put pen to paper. It's what I called a value chain capture strategy. And every link in that chain, along from the farmer to the distribution, there's margin. I'm going to take a part of it, but I'm not going to be greedy. I'm going to make sure every link makes money along the way so that I have a sustainable distribution chain and we all make money together, including our shareholders.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks.
Next question comes from Max Vishniakov of Octagon Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Max.
All right, just a quick question to follow up on your comment that you made, that diversification strategy sort of started to kick in. We expect to see going forward then sort of like the more, excuse me, I have some cold, a more less variability in terms of Q3 and Q2, which usually were weaker. So those quarters in 2012, if we assume, are they going to be smoother, or what's your expectation on that?
I mean, it's a process, Max. That, I mean, we're talking about changing the seasonal trends of a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't tell you that in 2012 we're going to achieve the smoothing, but I can tell you that, you know, in a five-year plan, you know, we want to ensure that our growth strategies lead us to a smoother quarter two and quarter three. And, you know, our Turkish business has the ability to assist us in the Q3, and our, you know, Australian and Chinese and Indian businesses have the ability to help us in Q2.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll take us, you know, a couple of years to get there to a more smoothed out earnings cycle. But that's the goal. I mean, the goal is to, listen, food companies are a lot less reliant on commodity seasonal trends. So, you know, when we look at our hummus chickpea demand, it's year-round. I mean, you know, people are eating hummus in the winter and they're eating hummus in the summer. And so from that perspective, dry edible beans, I mean, we see, you know, black bean consumption in the winter. We see black bean consumption all year. Navy beans is the same way. Rice is not a seasonal commodity in terms of consumption. Neither is pasta. Neither is vermicelli noodles made from pea starch. You know, these are the type of products that that we have to look at as we go forward.
Got it. Perfect. And, Murat, then a question on the quality. I know it's a little bit early and premature right now, but with the late planting season in Canada, just help me understand that I got it right. Your expectations for the quality for this year, is that going to be the same, or are you expecting it slightly better? Just because last year we were late in planting as well.
Well, I mean, listen, we were late in planting last year, but remember at, say, late August to early September, we were ready to harvest and there were no quality issues. We were facing the largest crop in the history of Canada and the quality looked fine. It just was deteriorated from the heavy rains. So I think that when we look at seeding progress on lentils in Saskatchewan, you know, what would we estimate today, Gaetan? Where would we be at percentage-wise today?
Complete?
On lentils.
You're probably looking at over 90%, right?
Over 95%. Our estimate is around 90 to 95% complete. And here we are at the 31st of May. And so we're right on track. We're maybe a week behind, week and a half behind. I read a great article today from in the Regina Leader Post that is forecasting a July-August hot and dry summer for Saskatchewan. So we're looking forward to that to dry up, dry off, and start talking about the rain again. Because in Saskatchewan, we like to talk about how dry it is, and we haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. So we're kind of lost, Max, you know?
Right. So we're picking up. Okay, got it. And very quick question, maybe a question to Lori. On marketing, sales, and distribution expenses, I'm presuming, just to make sure, I'm presuming that it's a direct relationship to the sales, right, to the volume. It's not more of a kind of like fixed cost there.
I'd say it's a combination.
Okay.
But a large part of that would still be a fixed cost component, right? Because
yep.
You're talking about salaried people that are in there a lot and they're not changing.
So at 4.7, this is pretty much within the quarterly ballpark, right, that we're going to see for the rest of the year then?
Yeah,
okay.
I would say that's pretty safe.
All right, good. Thank you.
As a reminder, analysts who have a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. Next question is from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions, Murat. First of all, what's your best guess right now as to Canadian on-farm inventories? And of that number, how much do you think pretty much has to be feed?
Gaetan, do you want to take a shot at that, or should I?
Well,
let's let Gaetan answer you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the March 31 numbers and then, you know, subtract the exports.
What was the March 31 number?
I think it was near a million tons, right, on farm and in all positions. So, you know, if you pencil in somewhere around 100,000 tons, I mean, the math looks like there's probably somewhere over 700,000 tons right now.
Sorry, how'd you get from a million to 700?
What's that?
How'd you go from a million to 700?
Well, just if you just look at April and May.
Oh, I see, 100,000 per month.
And potentially June sales are on the books already. You take those out, and there will be some domestic disappearance in the feed markets as well. But
Anoop, I got to tell you, we don't think that the stuff that was really feed, like the really badly damaged stuff,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that has been marketed off. If it was going for feed, and it wasn't a big percentage, so. You know, we still think that the stocks that are available are ones that, at the right price, are going to be bought, they're going to be processed, milled, and sold.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to be bought, processed, and sold to a miller, and they're going to mill them. So, you know, I think earlier on I may have mentioned, but to clarify, we're not going to be done with this old crop stuff even when the new crop comes. you know, today it's a lot more headache and a lot more hassle, but on our milling plants, you know, we'll continue with the poor quality product until it's done, and it may take us a year to get through it, but we won't return to premium quality product in some of our plants. We'll keep on rolling with this stuff because the margins are better.
Okay, what would you, if we use a number of 700,000 tons now, what would that have been a year ago, do you think?
Oh, gosh. At this point last year, we would have been maybe...
It was tight, yeah.
100,000, maybe?
Well, yeah, well...
100, 150?
Yeah, it was tight. You'd have to look back at the export split period.
Yeah, we'd have to look, and if we can get you a more reliable figure, but it was very tight. I mean, we had nothing... We couldn't buy product. Remember last year, you know, in the period of quarter two, you know, we talked about, you know, doing peas because there were no lentils available for sale.
That's fine. And just a last question. In terms of the insurance settlement for Turkey, when do you think you're going to get that?
It's largely complete. I think what's the uncollected amount so far? Like 300,000 or 350,000 accrued as due from the insurance company. The balance is collected.
And what was the balance?
Oh, like $350,000 or something. It's
so you received total insurance proceeds of about $700,000?
No.
Insurance proceeds were around $9 million.
$9 million.
Okay.
And we have about $350,000 left to be collected.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Anoop, I didn't understand your question. Okay, we got time for maybe a couple more questions. Who's next?
Next question is from Steve Hansen of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes. Good morning, everyone. Just a high-level strategies question. When you look at all the different growth opportunities that you've outlined, both by geography and product line, how do you prioritize these opportunities given the different risk profiles that are attached, or how do you allocate the capital accordingly?
Yeah, very good question. I mean, we certainly have started to divide among lines of product segments. So, you know, we're running our pulses business in what I would consider to be probably two separate, you know, strategies. One would be on focus on the dry edible beans, and the other would be focused on lentils, peas, and chickpeas. So those are kind of two business units that are kind of divided off. On the rice side and the pasta bulgur side, we have separate teams as well there. So, you know, when we look at it, we've kind of set our country priorities as U.S., India, China, Turkey, and of course we've got a few little things we do in Canada here and there, but certainly, you know, in terms of assessment of risk profile and capital, you know, we're sticking with our view of our metrics that we've stuck to in the past. I mean, a lot of the assets and the plays that we're talking about now are largely going to be acquisition of facilities and retrofit to suit our particular processing programs or fresh builds. I mean, you know, we don't think that there are significant amounts of new assets that are available from existing players that, you know, we have a strong interest in acquisition on. The U.S. might be a little different. There might be a few opportunities there. But when we look at China, India, and our build-out in Turkey, you know, we're building and we're buying, you know, warehouses and storage and those kinds of things, and we're building them the way we want them, like what we've been doing in Australia. So we look at those metrics and we allocate capital according to how it fits into the strategy and how it's going to deliver out, you know, in the first 12 months and then post that to contribute to what we expect. So the country management teams and the product management teams are certainly helping in the allocation. And what I think you're going to see is you'll see us, because there's so many different areas and geographies, we're continuing down this path of what we call that tuck-in acquisition growth strategy. You know, you'll see me, let's say, in China or India, you're not going to see us announce a $40 million play. It's going to be a $10 million play that's going to prove the metrics, and then they'll immediately be given the next 10. You know, so we'll be taking a step-by-step strategy in new areas so, you know, we can ensure that we're allocating the capital to the right areas, because we're proving business concepts, Steve, in a lot of these cases where we think that when we're using this word internally, the synergy dividend. You know, the synergy dividend is the one that when you take this whole system of distribution in the world and the risk management and the admin platform we've set up, we actually can deliver good return and good earnings, you know, that are better than our smaller fragmented competitors.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
I guess we've got time for one last question.
The next question is a follow-up from Robert Winslow of Wellington West Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I really want this one to be a short one, Robert. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We talked about the lentil exports, Canadian lentil exports for Jan through March. We haven't seen the data yet for April and May. We did see a pretty steep decline earlier. What are April and May tracking like in your view? By now you would have seen the flow through your facilities. Are we down year over year still, or have we turned the tide now? We're seeing volumes increase year over year.
I mean, you're not going to see a turn in the tide until second half of 2011. I mean, this is seasonally the decline period. So, you know, ultimately, you know, we take a positive from the fact that there is product available. So when we do have the demand, we can deliver it. But you're not going to see a turn in the corner until, end of June, July. In our minds, Robert, we have a kind of a deadline of, you know, somewhere around the 25th of May, which is usually about 60 days past when we consider the Indian harvest to really be, you know, in progress. So that's about, 25th of March or so. So the 25th of May, we usually have a clearer picture. And we've given you that picture today. We think that the crops are affected in other geographies. We think that hand-to-mouth buying happened. But at some point, it can't continue hand-to-mouth. This is not goods that people decide, today I'm going to eat my vegetable protein and tomorrow I'm not going to. At some point, stock levels become unsustainable and stock levels need to be replenished. And it usually happens in a time where prices are ramping up, not ramping down. And I think that we'll see positive demand fundamentals coming back into the mix in second half 2011 and into 2012. That's where we're hoping it goes.
I recognize that Q2 is seasonally low. That's been made clear. But again, I was just looking at the year-over-year comp, because if I look at January, February, March, each month you got progressively better. I'm talking about the exports. They were down 35% in January, down 30% in February, down only 16% in March. I just wondered if that trend was continuing, if we're getting back to a stage of year-over-year growth. But it seems like we're probably not.
You know what, Robert, I got to be honest. I can't even answer that question. That particular question,
yeah.
I haven't examined the statistics from last year versus our shipments for the 2 months that we know what we shipped. So I really couldn't give you that. So, if you want us to comment on that, we may be able to give you some insight later. But, I answered a very general. I didn't understand your specific question. I can't say it's over. I can't say that it's worse. You know, my gut sense is that if you're looking at year-over-year decline, that you probably have turned the corner, because the expectations of the market are now in. They understand what the quality is. People are accepting it or not accepting it, and they're not as scared because they know what they're getting.
Yep.
So I would expect that as we ramp into the second half, that we have seen the worst of it and we'll move forward.
That's helpful. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of our questions in our conference call. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. I would like to remind everyone still on the call that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office. We'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you for attending our conference call, and I wish you all a good day.